All right, I want to continue talking about, actually I call it Listen to Your Heart series. It's actually just how to be led by the Spirit, really, is what my term for talking about how to be led by the Spirit. Now, Hebrews 4 in the New Living Translation says, well, I'll let y'all turn there. I see people turning. You can get it on your iPhone, your iPad, your real Bible. The printed one. Some people got like it on their device because they got a lot of different translations. I like to look up stuff on there because I can go to a whole bunch of translations and read it. Sometimes reading it from another translation, you get just a little bit of different flavor of what the scripture really means. Because in the New Testament Greek, which is an archaic language that's not in existence today, there are many words that carried with it different connotations, you could go different direction with it, like the word paraclete there that's used in John for the Holy Spirit. It has seven different areas, you know, that you can go with it, you know, standby, helper, counselor, intercessor. I mean, it's just different things there. Okay, everybody found Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two, the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Now, you see, we need to know that most of the time when it's talking about the heart, it is actually referring to the inner man or the spirit man. Now, we are spirit beings. And God communicates with us through our spirit. Now, we can see this if you turn to Proverbs 20:27, or Romans 8:14, and 16, and 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We will go and read those if you want to turn to those. Okay, Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward depths of his heart." And then in Romans 8:14 and 16, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And then Paul here in Thessalonians 5:23, reading it from I'm reading it from NLT again. "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." Now here in these verses in Romans and here in Thessalonians, Paul is teaching us that we are a spirit, we possess a soul, and we live in a body. With the body, we contact the physical realm. With our spirit or our heart, we contact the spiritual realm. Now, the soul includes the mind, the will, the emotions, and therefore we contact the intellectual and the emotional realms with our soul. And it's easy to find our body. It's visible. It's the part that we contact with the physical senses: sight, hearing, touch, taste, smell. And through these senses, it gives our body information that we need to live by. It's not difficult to tell the difference between the body and the spirit. But it becomes more difficult to tell the difference between the soul and the spirit because we can't see or touch or physically come in contact with those. So it's important to understand the difference between these, and so that we can successfully listen to our inward man or listen to our heart. There's controversy has raged for centuries. I mean, we go back, and if you've been in Bible school and have studied church history and so forth and so on. You study all of that in theology. You study how they have arguments about this. You know, they would convene back in the 1500s and 1600s. They would convene councils to discuss different things. And you had the Council of Nicene and the Council of Trent and so forth and so on. At one of these councils, their discussion was, if I remember correctly from my, because I didn't go look it up, but from what Dr. Harrison said, they discussed how many angels could dance on the head of a pin or something like that. I mean, that's the kind of discussions that they had in those days. And now, because the discussion rages between the different theologians, some believe that the soul and the spirit are the same, and others believe in line with the Word of God, and you have what you call dualism and traducianism. Now, dualism is that we are, you know, that the spirit and soul is the same, so we have spirit and body, and the spirit and soul are the same. Traducianism, the theory, they call it theory. It's not a theory. The Word of God says it's so, but they call it the theory. I'm giving you just a short little theology lesson this morning. Traducianism, in theological terms, means three parts, exactly, just like spirit, soul, and body. And so that is what has raged for a long, long time. Now, if we go and read here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. We already read it, but I want to read it again. Now go to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. The reason I want you to look at this is because I'm building the case so that you can understand this. For the word of the Lord is alive and powerful. We read this already. We'll read it again. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, which is the body. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Now, here it says that the Word of God is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is cutting between the soul and the spirit. So right here, Paul, we go back here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul definitely says that we are spirit, soul, and body. Now he goes here, I believe it was Paul or else one of his proteges that wrote Hebrews from what I studied. Now, it says here that the soul and the spirit, he cuts between them. They can be separated. The reason they're so hard to separate is because they're interconnected, but they can be separated. And so we need to understand that if they weren't two different entities, there would be no use to divide them. Right? It says cutting between the soul and the spirit. So if they were one entity together, why try to divide them? Now, you cannot separate something that's of itself. Okay, that's water. I can pour part of this water into another deal. It's still water. It can't be separated, right? Now, I could put dirt in here. Shake this up. And they're mixed together, all right. But you let it set for just a minute, and they will separate, and the water will rise to the top. The mud or dirt will fall to the bottom. Just like, how many of you ever use oil and vinegar for a dressing? Now, when you pick it up, they're two separate runs, right? But you shake them together, and they mix together, but they're still two separate entities, even though they mix together when you shook them up. How many understand that? See, that's the way we are, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. That's the way our spirit and soul is. They're two separate entities, but they mix and work together. How many understand what I'm saying to you? So I'm trying to do this in the most simplistic theological, and of course I'm just simple anyway, so I couldn't do it any other way. But I studied all this in theology. Now, 1 Corinthians 4:14-15 says this: so your mind and your soul are the spirit. Are the mind and soul, the spirit of man. They work together. See, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand with my mind, or I don't understand with my mind, or I don't understand. I'm just adding that when we say understanding, understanding is the mind. What I'm saying. Well, then, what shall I do? I will pray in the spirit, and I will pray in the words I understand, or with my mind. I will sing in the spirit, and I will also sing in words I understand or with my mind. Now, when we pray in the spirit, it's coming from our spirit, but it has to hook up through here to get out here. How many understand what I'm saying to you? See, and so the spirit and the soul are separate entities, but they work together just like the oil and vinegar does. And they're two separate entities, but they're working together to make you a salad dressing. How many understand where I'm coming from on this? See, so as we pray, although our body is involved, our mind is involved, we don't understand what we're saying because we're praying in a spiritual language. How many understand what I'm saying to you? And actually, the Amplified says our mind is unproductive as we pray. In other words, your mind doesn't know what you're saying, and that's because you are praying in a spiritual language, okay? Now, it may be a known language, and it may be an unknown language, because I have known many times of people saying things, and somebody come up and say to them, well, you were speaking in such and such a language. I know Lynette had prayed for a lady one time, and the lady was fixing to have an operation, and the lady said, do you know what you were saying? She was of Spanish descent, and said, in Spanish you were saying it is all is well, all is well. And so that gave her courage, you know, and then she wasn't upset about the operation. You know, the Bible says that when we pray in the Spirit, we're building up ourselves. Now, I want to read Jude 1:20 from the Message Bible. Jude 1:20. You, dear friends, carefully build yourself up in the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, what does this verse, what does it mean when it's talking about building yourself up? You certainly can't not build in the body, right? It says building yourself up. But if you're going to build the body, you go to the gym and you get some weights and you work out, right? And praying in the tongues doesn't build your soul or the intellectual part of you. You do that by going and studying, you know, but if you renew your mind with the Word of God. Now, building yourself up by praying in tongues, then what are you building up? It says you're building up yourself. You're building up the man on the inside. The man on the inside is the real person, because that's the entity that lives forever. You see, this is just the house that we live in down here. You know, we are a spirit. We have a soul, which is our mind, our intellect, our emotions, and so forth. And we live in a body. The Bible plainly says that when the body goes back to what it was formed from in the first place, that the spirit either goes with God or goes to the opposite direction. Heaven or hell, one or the other. All right? So, now, when we become a, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we all know this, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, and the old life is gone and the new life has begun. But it's talking about the spirit of man. We know that the person is not born again. The body is not born again, right? So it is the spirit and the mind is not born again. The sudden change comes to the real person, the spirit on the inside. The Bible says that we commune with God and we do it in spirit and in truth because he's a spirit. We can't commune with him on a physical level. We have to commune with him in the spiritual level. All right? Now, your body doesn't suddenly change when you get saved. Your soulless thoughts and emotions don't change overnight either. In fact, Paul tells us to in Romans 12:2 that we must renew our minds. See, the Lord completely gives you a new spirit. Now you got to do something about the body and the mind. Hello. See, it's your spirit that becomes the brand new person, a new creation. The moment you're born again, the old life disappears and you become, you know, now the hidden person of the heart, as Peter calls him. The body still wants to do the same thing. The mind still wants to think the same thoughts. That's why you have to go to Romans 12:1 and Romans 9:27 that tells the believers to do something about their mind and their body. 12:2 says, you renew your mind with the word of God. There in 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul talks about that he keeps under his body. He said he keeps under his body. Well, who's he? It's the man on the inside that tells the body, you can't do that. Come on now. See, the mind wants to think the same thoughts until you renew the mind with the word of God. See, now many Christians don't understand this, and they get born again, but then they begin to have problems thinking that they're not born again because the mind still wants to think in the soulish realm. The soul isn't born again, only the spirit. But when we begin to renew the mind with the word of God, we change our thinking to be in line with the word of God. Actually, that's why, because the mind is always contacting this world that we live in out here, the natural world. And the Bible plainly says that the devil is the god of this world. That happened when in the Garden of Eden when Adam transgressed. Now, have you ever noticed that when you really begin to understand this, the mind still wants to work out here in this area, and the spirit wants to work from the spiritual area, and they butt heads. How many ever had that happen to you? Had your mind and your spirit butting heads? Because the mind is always out here in the natural. That's why you have to renew it, because it's always out here in the natural world where the enemy is. That's why you keep renewing the mind with the word of God. You know, see, the Bible tells us to do something about it. Look at James 1:21. Anybody getting anything out of this? See, sometimes I preach evangelistic messages and I preach messages, but these lessons I'm doing teaching. How many see the difference in the way I present stuff? I mean, the crusade team, they said, Pastor, you're different out here on the road than you are at church. I said, sure, because I'm stepping over into the evangelistic mode, the evangelist mode. Here, I have to be in the pastor-teacher mode. Hello? I'm trying to help somebody. How many of you, this is helping you to understand the difference between the spirit and the soulish part of a person? All right, here we go. James 1:21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and all overflow of wickedness. Receive the meekness of the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, we talk about we get saved, talk about our spirit. Here it's talking about saving the soul. Another translation says putting away all filth and overflow of wickedness. Now, the way you're able to put away that in your mind is by renewing it with the word of God. Then that saves your soul. Now, what does the Bible mean by that phrase, save your soul? Okay, Psalms 23:3 says, He the Lord restores my soul. Romans 12:2, don't copy the NLT, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know the will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The King James Version says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The real man on the inside is born again. We do something about taking care of our thought life through what? Through renewing our mind to the things of God, through the Word of God. And see, the Word of God restores, renews, and you know, what's that mean? The words restore and renew. Well, they mean to make extensive changes in or to make like new. Your spirit man is immediately when you're born again. But you have to do something about making your mind new. So you think the right thoughts. Hello. Now, you know, I have an antique chair that I think it was in my great-grandmother's, but I know my grandmother had it. Now, that chair had to be restored. My mother had it in her house. Now, that chair had to be restored. And so they put new fabric on it. They sanded the wood and refinished all the wood. And now it is a renewed or restored chair. Hello? But we had to do it. It's still the same piece of furniture, but it's been restored. And my point is here that we have to restore our minds or renew our minds with the Word of God so that our minds will think in line and not butt heads with our spirit, but think in line with our spirit and line up the body with our spirit. That's why Paul says, I keep under my body. He is lining his body up with his spirit. We have to line our minds, our emotion, our thinking, and our body, keep it from doing the wrong things. We have to do that with the man from the inside. See, we used to sing a chorus, how many are in? Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Hello. See, it's the inside man. When you renew your mind with the Word, and then the inside man and the Word renewed with your mind renewed, they can work together to control this old body. Hello. See, as you renew your mind, you become transformed more and more into the image that God wants you to be, the image of Christ. See, and this enables you to continually live right. Hello. I knew a young guy back in the early 70s. He had blown his mind taking drugs. And he came to the church and got saved. I mean, you couldn't hardly talk to him 2 minutes without him going wandering off somewhere. I mean, his mind was just gone. And after he received Jesus Christ there in the church, he didn't have anywhere to go, anywhere to live. So they let him stay in the church, and he became the janitor of the church. And but they gave him a tape recorder, and yes, we used to listen to cassettes, kids. Cassette tapes. And they gave him a Bible, and I know the tapes they gave him were my dad's teachings. And they told him, they said, while you're vacuuming, while you're cleaning the church, you listen. You turn it on at night and listen at it while you sleep. You read these books. And he read all the dad's book, What Faith Is, Right and Wrong Thinking. And he said, and they told him, and said, if you lose your concentration, stop, walk around, and go back to it. And so he did that. And within 2 years, his mind was as sharp as anything. In fact, after 4 years after he was born again, the church was going into a building program, and he designed a sophisticated loan program to help the church with the building project. He said, man, this is a masterpiece. And he wanted to meet the young man. He met him, and he hired him to work for it. But to think about this, 4 years before, his mind was blown. But 4 years of renewing it continually with the Word of God. He had it playing on the tape recorder when he was sleeping. He had it playing when he was doing everything else, and then reading the Word, reading the Bible. And in 4 years, his mind was restored. And he became very successful young man that had gone, the devil had destroyed him. And that's what the Bible says. He wants to destroy us. That's what he wants to do, destroy us, kill us. But I want to tell you what, right here, the Word of God. If you keep your mind renewed by the Word of God, hey, renew you. I mean, this will help anybody. Just continue to keep your mind renewed by the Word of God and ask. It says if you ask him for wisdom, he'll give it. If you keep yourself renewed up in the Word of God, he'll give you ideas. He'll show you how to do things that other people can't do. I know of people that have gotten jobs that a college grad was supposed to get. But they got it because they were renewed with the Word of God, and the Word of God showed them how to do projects and things that the other people, they couldn't do. Hello, come on. How many know what I'm talking about? See, the same power that makes you a new person on the inside helps you to become a new person here and out here. See, God wants to respond to us in every area of our life, but it comes from being renewed with the Word of God. If you're not renewing your mind, you probably will respond to a situation in the natural. You wonder why some Christians that are born again sometimes respond the way they respond. They respond the way they respond because they may be born again, but they're not renewing the mind. So therefore they respond in the natural rather than responding from the way the Word of God says to respond. It's much harder to resist temptation when you're not renewing your mind with the Word of God. Remember, Psalms 119:11 says, I've hid that word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hello. See, you must allow your mind to be renewed. When you think in line with God's word, you're able to resist temptation a whole lot easier. As long as we live on this earth, the enemy will try to control us. And the And the way we combat that, the way the man on the inside combats that, is by continually keeping his mind renewed with the Word of God. Whatever you feed your mind on is what the way you will live. That's the truth. I mean, you can go to psychology and take a psychology course, and you get involved in psychology, and you'll find out that whatever is fed into you through reading, seeing, whatever, is what you will become. Now, I was taking one of my courses in college. I've got 22 hours of psychology in my degree plan. And this happened years and years and years ago, because I read it and we studied about it in a textbook. They took, and I'm showing you that whatever is fed here is what you become. They took 100 pupils. They were all from the same social, economical backgrounds. They all had similar IQ scores and test scores. They took 50 over here and 50 in this class. They had the same textbooks, the same test, everything. This group, the teacher told them how great they were, how great a students they were, how ruly they were, so forth and so on. This group, the teacher told them, "You're the most unruly bunch I've ever seen. You're not smart. You can't get anything done." And this class became a very unruly class. They were all making D's and F's. This class over here was a model classroom, and they were all making A's and B's. They're all from the same background. They all got the same kind of finances at home. They're taking the same test. They're reading the same book, but it was what was being fed into them they became. Now, I'm not getting as many shouts on that. But what you're feeding on, what you're seeing on television, what you're seeing on the movie screen, what you're reading about, begins to have an effect on you. And that's what the enemy knows. And through this, he is desensitizing us to evil. Through the television, he has desensitized people in the area of marriage and in the area of man and woman. You don't realize it, but it gradually desensitizes you until, if you're not careful, nothing's wrong. Now, I'm not going to preach do's and don'ts to you, but I am going to tell you that the Bible talks about there's some things that are wrong. It's not a do's and don'ts gospel. It's the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of peace. Because we all deserve judgment, but he had mercy and grace on us. Amen. He extended grace to us. Hallelujah. All right. When the enemy tempts you, your mind will immediately begin to think. When the enemy comes against you, no weapon formed against me will prosper. See, if you have been feeding your mind on the Word, then when the problem and the trial comes, immediately the Word of God comes out. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. See, with the renewed mind, you are sensitive to the Spirit. When the mind is not renewed, I didn't say you weren't sensitive to it, but you are not as sensitive to the Spirit when your mind is not renewed as you are when your mind is renewed on the Word of God and you've been in prayer and reading the Word. Hello. See, by continually renewing your mind, then it becomes easier for you to listen to your heart. Or listen to the inward man on the inside. Your mind may be trying to tell you something else from out here. But if you listen, the Spirit will come up here and say, wait a minute, don't do that. Do this. Hello? Anybody get anything out of this today? I trust as I continue to go with this on Listen to Your Heart that you will continue to receive from the Word. Father, I pray today that many will understand what we're trying to say to them. May they get a hold of renewing of their minds so that they can live the good life that you want them to live. You said that you want us to have life and have it more abundantly. Well, the more abundant life comes as we begin to renew the mind with the Word. I thank you for it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you know what? You have to become born again first before you can get involved with renewing your mind with the Word and beginning to understand the Word. You might be here today and you say, I never accepted Christ. Or you might be here today and you said, yeah, I know what it is to accept Christ, but I'm not where I should be. And therefore, I need to renew myself with Him. Or you might be like a lot of people, you just go to church, but you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand in this place anywhere right now. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. You need Christ, you need to rededicate your life to God, or you need a know-so experience with Him. Anybody, anywhere in the room right now, anybody, upstairs, downstairs, wherever. Is there a hand over here somewhere? There's a hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Are there others that would raise their hand? Anywhere else? Over here. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Up here in the balcony. Thank you. Thank you. We also believe in being filled with the Spirit around here, and I talked about it in the message. I'm talking about what Acts 2:4 says. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. And you'd say, I want to receive that experience today of being filled with the Spirit. Anybody want to be filled with the Spirit? Let me see your hand. Anybody in the room? Praise the Lord. Everybody stand, please. I know we had some hands raised in the balcony. We had hands raised on the bottom floor. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. I'm going to walk right down here to the front. I want you to come down here. I want to shake your hand and I want to pray with you. Right now, if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on right now. Come on right now. Come on right now. From the balcony, the ushers will help you down here. Hallelujah. Come here, man. Right here. Yeah, let's just wait for some more to get here. All right. Just stand right here. Hey, man. God bless you. Just stand right here. Lord bless you. Just stand right here and wait just a minute. We got some more coming. Come on. Come on. Come on right now. Change your life forever. You in the balcony. Come on down from the balcony. I know they said there was hands raised in the balcony. Hallelujah. We're going to wait. Come on. There you go. Change your life forever. Right here. God bless you. God bless you, man. Come on right now. It's the time to change our life forever. I'm waiting for those. I think some of them are coming from the balcony. They didn't come. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Come on. Come on right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You guys that are here at the front, y'all look at me for just a minute. Forget everybody else. It's just us, okay? Oh, here comes somebody else. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let's forget about the rest of them. And y'all just zero in on me. I got three books. New Birth, talking about what in Him, who you are in Christ, about the Holy Spirit. Why tongues? Now, I got these three books in my hand. I put them out here like this, and I said, you can have them. What do you got to do to get them? That's it. They're yours. You get them. Hey, y'all all going to get them same books in just a minute. That's just a little exercise I do to show you that I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual thing that you came to receive. It comes from heaven on high. And just as he reached his hand out for those, I want you to raise one hand toward heaven. I don't care which one, as I pray for you right now. Congregation, reach your hands toward him as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no-so experience with you, blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, put your hands down and look at me for just a moment. I want to ask you to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. Make sure you got what you came for. And get those books. And that same, we call it a prayer room this morning, but that same room on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock becomes a classroom called Turning Point. And somebody said, well, what in the world's that? Well, that's nothing more than a few classes to help you get your life turned on to God or back on to God. That's all it is. And I'd like to see you in that class next Sunday morning. Would you just turn right there and see Greg right there? He's in charge. Would you just follow him to that place of prayer right now where you can be prayed with individually and in depth? Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. God bless you as you go. Hallelujah.